Well, you know, I've got articles that I think are terrific articles, but I want to refocus a little bit. And it's so interesting, Dave. Every guest you have in the first couple hours, it always seems like I have picked out stories that tie into what your guests are discussing. Maybe because everything's just converging into the same place anyway, but, you know, the first thing I want to say is, as you listen to these health reports, I don't want anyone to lose focus on why I'm doing this. Many months ago when I started this, it was about becoming your own researcher, becoming your own home physician for the most part. And I want to encourage people to keep that attitude, keep that mindset, where if you hear something and it strikes a chord in you, do your own research, be well, because the days that are coming, you know, Dave was just saying they're shutting down prepaid cards. Are they going to shut down clinics? Are we, if we have terror attacks, are people going to be afraid to leave their homes? And I don't want to be all spooky and fearful, but these are practical steps that people can take. Please start thinking about getting well, getting healthy, getting off your medications, starting to eat right, do things that will make you a better, healthier person, because we're going to need it in the days to come, especially with the food situation. I mean, Mike Adams talks about this too, and Dr. Brower talks about this. Boost your immune system. Get your immune system as strong as it can be to fight off a lot of the things that are coming. And personally, I believe a lot of our protection will be supernatural. I will do a show. I'm working on this. I'm building this. It's a show on spiritual healing and what we will need, what we need now to get through what we're getting through, but what we will need in the future, I believe, to get through what's coming. But when, Lisa talked a little bit about this, and you and Sheila had talked about this, about GMOs again, so we're back on GMOs. I can't tell you how many people ask me why should I be afraid of GMOs? What is it about GMOs? We hear genetically modified organism. Okay, so they tinkered with it a little bit. Big deal. It is a big deal. Please, folks, stay away from genetically modified food, especially as a believer. God made us perfect. They are tampering with the very connection to God, our DNA. They are genetically modifying our natural organism, the human body, and they're doing it through the one thing, many ways, but they're doing it through the one thing we need, food. Oh, this is just such a cruel plot. But we hear so much about GMOs and how bad they are, but here's just a little slice of the information pie as to a very different reason not to consume genetically modified foods. Glyphosates are destroying our mitochondria. Dave, I'm sure you're familiar with mitochondria.
I am very familiar. Yep.
The building block of life. Mitochondria is a, without going into too much detail, it's a vital component inside the cell, and it provides energy to the organism. They convert glucose sugar into fuel that allows cells to replicate, perform their assigned tasks, protect and repair themselves. So the mitochondria function is essential to life. And when they're damaged, it can lead to all kinds of diseases like cancer, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, heart disease, bipolar disorders, autism, diabetes, and more. In other words, when the mitochondria are compromised, the rest of our health is a house of cards. And that's why it's important to stop buying conventionally grown food if you don't know. So one of the most dangerous chemicals that damages the function of this most critical function in our bodies is glyphosate, used in the popular herbicide called Roundup. It disrupts the mitochondria from doing its assigned task, which in turn seriously compromises our health. And glyphosates are everywhere. The unsafe levels of glyphosates are now present in human urine, blood, and even breast milk. So the whole premise of using these pesticides was a lie. The weeds, this is design of God. The weed it was designed to kill simply finds a way to resist its effect, and over the years, the need for more and more of the product glyphosate becomes a natural progression. because of this overuse and the fact that it's in our mainstream food supply, is a deadly combo. And because of the myriad of other toxins that are added to glyphosates, it's now deemed to be 125 times more deadly to the function of the essential and fragile role of the human mitochondria. So as a side note, 10.3 billion in Monsanto, I'm sorry, 10.3 billion of Monsanto's 14.9 billion in corporate sales came from its seeds and genetic modifications. And they continue to pour millions into stopping the public education of the dangers of their product by fighting GMO labeling. People, please try to buy as much as you can. If not, go without. Especially when I see children. Oh my gosh, what they're doing to these little bodies that are still forming. But you take your kids to McDonald's or Wendy's. All that food, I don't know this, but I would bet anything on it that 99% of the food in those restaurants are genetically modified foods. So think about that next time. You want to take the kids out for a treat. But here's something very interesting, Dave. Kenyan doctors, we've known this for a long time, but what is that saying? I've said it on this show before. The lie is halfway around the world before the truth ever gets its boots on. I mean, the truth always comes out. Kenyan doctors find anti-fertility agent in UN tetanus vaccine. This is from Natural Blaze. The Kenyan Catholic Doctors Association had six tetanus vaccinations from around Kenya tested, and 100% of them tested positive for the HCG antigen. This is so...
Let's talk about what that is.
Oh, my goodness, this is frustrating. The HCG antigen is it's human chorionic gonadotrophine, okay, HCG. It was developed by the World Health Organization in 1992, and what it basically is... Amazingly enough, it's a fertility additive. So we knew this a long time ago. This is all Bill Gates, the Bill Gates Foundation's behind this. The WHO is behind this. But the Kenyan Catholic Doctors Association finally found out about it. They had proof. So they were charging UNICEF, and the WHO with sterilizing millions of girls and women under cover of an anti-tetanus vaccination program sponsored by the Kenyan government. So everybody's hands are in this pie. While the government claimed the tetanus vaccine is perfectly safe, the Kenyan Catholic Doctors Association disagreed. And the reason they disagreed will get you very upset. It said... Dr. Nagare listed a number of concerns to do with the mass tetanus vaccination program in Kenya that used Catholic doctors to become, caused doctors to become suspicious. Well, this Dr. Nagare told LifeSite News that several things alerted doctors to the church's far-flung medical system of 54 hospitals, 83 health centers, and 17 medical and nursing schools to the possibility that anti-tetanus campaign was a secret anti-fertility campaign. Why, they ask, does it involve an unprecedented five shots, or jabs as they call them, over more than 2 years, and why was it only applied to women of childbearing years, and why is it being conducted without the usual fanfare of the government? Well, when funds, let's see, and then it says, it is important to note that there is no financial incentive for the Kenyan government to participate in the vaccination programs, for UNICEF and WHO distribute the vaccines for free. So basically what they were saying in this article is they don't vaccinate, the government officials don't vaccinate their children, it's just for the people. So when funds from the UN are not enough to purchase yearly allotments of vaccines, an organization started and funded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, G-A-V-I, provides extra funding for many of these vaccination programs in poor countries. So how long would you say we have, in the alternative media, have known about this, Dave?
Well, I've been reporting on this for a number of, actually since I started broadcasting, the first year. The uh-huh. Gates have historically been involved in depopulation efforts of all types. And, of course, the accusations fly about the adjuvants that go into the vaccines they support. And uh-huh. they are allegations of basically doing the same thing, anti-fertility.
Anti-fertility. And how horrible that they have been doing it to these young women for years and years and lying to them. I mean, it's no shock, but just, oh my gosh, just the violation of this, taking away their God-given, without their knowledge, their God-given beautiful ability to procreate by these evil monsters. That's all I can say. This is very disturbing.
Do you think that at the upper echelon of the Monsanto corporate structure, they know exactly who and what they're serving?
Oh, how could they not? how could these organizations not know? I know there's the too big to fail, and then there's, you know, too big to manage. No, I'm not buying that. They have to know what they're doing. Absolutely have to know what they're doing. They don't, and they're amoral about it. So there's no, seems to be no conscience about it. It's all about money and power and stocks. And then when no one's left, I mean, do these people think about what the end game is? Do they really think they can function with what's their goal? 600 million? Is that their goal? On the Georgia Guidestones?
Well, whatever 90% of the 7 billion we have, so you're in the neighborhood, yes.
Yeah, they're just insane. So it's just, we're living amongst total insanity. So all the more reason to look up and trust in the Lord. So I have another piece here. The real cause of depression may have nothing at all to do with your mind. And I've covered this before, too. Diet. Oh my gosh. Diet, diet, diet. So that's why I covered the GMO story first. We are putting garbage in and we are getting garbage out. And that's why we have a very sick, mentally sick, physically sick culture. But this is from, also from Natural Blaze. It says, depression is epidemic in our society and the mainstream solution is a trip to the psychiatrist and an indefinite prescription for pharmaceuticals. I mean, I don't watch TV. I don't even have a TV anymore. I hate television. But when I go to someone's home and I see commercials, it's 90%. Well, it's what? Cholesterol medication and depression medication. They're just pushing. But it says, dependent on psychotropic drugs to get you by is no way to live. And in the search for happiness, both individuals, doctors and scientists alike are beginning to crack the code of depression and to question if the pharmaceutical solution even works. I read that book many months ago in this show about that Barbara Stitt, who changed these children's behavior in prisons by simply giving them raw food diets. And they lost their aggression, they lost their depression, so... Another message, people.
I remember
really,
that.
Yes, yes.
Who was the actor, Katie, that came out against psychotropic medication for depression? He thought chemical imbalance was a facade.
I have no idea. Give me a hint. What movie was he in?
Oh boy, I'm drawing a blank here. That's why I'm asking you. Come on, you've been taking the vitamin E. Ginkgo biloba memory here from Katie Whalen.
I just started yesterday, so it's not working yet. No, I have no idea, but...
It's
I
not Charlie Sheen, it's... oh, God, I'm really having a brain aneurysm tonight. Oh, this Mission Impossible guy. Come on, help me.
The old one or the
Tom
new
Cruise.
One?
Tom Cruise.
Oh, Tom Cruise. Yeah, that's
Tom
part
Cruise.
Of his religion. Yeah.
How could I not think of that? Yeah, but Cruise. You know what? There's a lot of people that subscribe to that, because if you look at the black box warnings that come on antidepressant medication like Prozac, I mean, mm-hmm. they're going to have you do everything on a black box warning except dismember your mother, and that might happen too if you take this drug. It's, they're absolutely, these, listen, I come from this profession. And I have to tell you, I advise people, this is your treatment of last resort.
Resort, yes, yes. And it is, most of the time, people are actually not suffering from depression. Remember Kathy France, the testimony I did with the energy medicine?
Yes.
She was on antidepressants, and what Dr. Toshiro found with her wasn't actually that at all. She was having adrenal stress fatigue syndrome, which after Kathy did some research, she discovered that that syndrome is often misdiagnosed as depression. So that's no shocker. They're putting little infants on Prozac? I'll have to look into that, but I've heard that several times. They're prescribing ADD medication for infants and you know, kindergartners, and they're getting them all on this garbage. But it says, is depression all in the mind? And these doctors believe no. A simple observation about life has formed the foundation of this doctor's conclusion that everyone feels miserable when they are ill, labeled sickness behavior. The common symptoms of feeling tired, irritable, bored, fed up, not wanting to move, these symptoms look a lot like depression to this Dr. Slavik, who wondered if there might be a cause, a common cause for these symptoms. And he's getting into it, and he says, yes, it's diet. The answer to that seems to be, yes, it is diet. And the best candidate so far is inflammation for causing these issues. And that comes from diet. Part of the immune system that acts as a burglar alarm to close wounds and call other parts of the immune system into action. A family of proteins called cytokines sets off inflammation in the body and switches the brain into sick mode. So this is... I love the fact that this is coming out, and I want people to hear this, and I want people to research this. They can go to my blog and click the links and share this with people. Start eating better. Start eating whole foods, raw foods, green, colorful vegetables, lean meats. Stay away from toxic foods. Personally, I'm gonna get a boatload from this, but please stay away from things like bacon. I mean, I love the smell of bacon. I grew up eating bacon, but I stopped eating bacon about 15 years ago. I stopped eating ham. I stopped eating pork. I don't eat I eat biblically. I don't eat anything that's a bottom feeder, that eats trash, that eats dead, decomposing carcasses. I mean, you're kind of asking for trouble when you're doing that. But eat good, clean foods. Watch,
yeah, like microwave popcorn, right?
And pizza. Oh my gosh. But things like anxiety, depression, addictions, these things will go away when you start giving your machine what it needs to keep going. So what I wrote something here. Oh, you can read the full story. Go to theessentialoilwell.blogspot.com. And I'm going to have all the links to these stories. But I really want to make a push again, because I've gotten so into just reading the stories, but I want to make a personal connection to the audience to get back into researching again. Everyone who's listening, take charge. Think of it as a challenge. It's exciting. It's good. It's a great thing to not have to go to the doctor, to have a medicine cabinet in your home where you're familiar with the products that you're using. You know, you can treat your husband, your kids at home. And feeding them good, healthy food, because we're all going to need that really soon here. But do I have time for one more little story or not? We're at 8:27.
About 30 seconds.
30 seconds. No, I don't. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plug my medicine cabinet, my medicine of choice. Go to familyessentialshop.com. Call me. I want to help you set up your own home medicine cabinet. We can talk diet, we can talk all kinds of different things, but I really want people to think about getting well. Call me at 720-630-3111 and we'll talk about essential oils, setting up a family medicine cabinet. Get your family well, folks.
Okay, and a transcript of this segment will be up soon. And Katie, thanks so much. Good stuff.
You bet.
Thanks for reinforcing my disdain for psychotropics. Stay tuned, everybody. We'll be back right after these messages.
Do you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Then get on board with the Tax Admiral and let us steer your way to financial freedom.
The IRS is the largest collection agency in the world. They can freeze your bank accounts, seize your car, home, will garnish your paychecks and benefits.
Don't take on the IRS alone. I can fight for you using industry secrets that can help stop the IRS. I'll cut your penalties, slash your interest, and reduce your overall tax bill. Sometimes I can even get it zero. Out completely.
We're an A-rated company with over 30 years experience helping people clean up their mess with the IRS. And we have a 95% customer satisfaction rating.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS, are facing an audit, a lien, or levy, then call me right away.
Call 800-647-1088. Again, that's 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088. 800-647-1088.
Well, I have to tell you, I don't have to tell you. You already know. Things are bad. Things are really bad. The economy's on the verge of collapse. We've got Jade Helm still in motion. Can you believe that? Can you believe they're still making massive troop and equipment movements across the country? What are they preparing for? Russia and China are still threatening action against us militarily if we interfere in their endeavors. The TPP promises to wreck this country. I could go on and on and on, but you get the idea. We know that we're living on borrowed time here in the United States, particularly economically, and you need to get prepared. So I want to talk to you about my friend Bob Griswold from ReadyMadeResources.com. Bob can help you get ready for what's coming. Very few of us realize that we're most vulnerable at night. And yes, I'm back to talking about night vision, because if you don't have yours, you need to look into it. Bob does have some specials up on his website right now at ReadyMadeResources.com. You need to go up there and take a look. Again, that's ReadyMadeResources.com. You can give Bob a call in the morning at 1-800-627-3809. Again, ReadyMadeResources.com, 1-800-627-3809. And along the idea of preparedness as well, we'd like to tell you about, again, our grab-and-go bucket, which has 76 meals, very reasonably priced, 6 months same as cash. They're tasty and delicious. I've tried them. And if you need to bug out or bug in, this is your perfect getaway kit to where you don't have to leave home without some kind of resources. And a good supplement to the grab-and-go bucket with the food is organic powdered milk. Both available, reasonably priced, and again, 6 months same as cash. Go to foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Again, that's foodforliberty.com/Hodges. Well, we are in our final segment of the evening, what we like to dub the Red List News. And in the Red List News, I have a partner, and we've heard him several times here. He's now assumed the mantle of the news director for the Common Sense Show, and I'm speaking about James White. Jim, I hope you had a good Thanksgiving, and I'm glad you could be with us.
I did indeed, David. Thank you so much once again for having me here on the Common Sense Show. Yes, my mother's in town from Michigan, so it's great to spend time with family here, and you know, always have good food and good cooking when mom's in town. So, yeah, we're delighted to have her in town, and thanks so much again for having me here on the broadcast.
Well, it's always good to have you. And speaking of Michigan, your mom talked to you about the invasion that's going on in Michigan right now?
Oh, yeah. I was I'd moved here about 4 years ago from Michigan, and it was the invasion was in full force then. There was, you know, I live not too very far from where, you know, Dearborn, which is probably the epicenter of really, you know, the influx of the Muslim population there in Michigan. And, no, there are parts of Michigan there now, I believe in Hamtramck, where I want to say Sharia law has been instituted. And, you know, we would talk about this. I would talk about this to people like 2-3 years ago about the Sharia law, and they would just look at me like I had a third eye growing out of my forehead and would say, that's never going to happen here in the United States, never. I said, well, don't say never, first of all. And second of all, are you really looking at, are you looking at the trends? Are you looking at what's going on here? You know, there was mosques popping up all over Michigan. So, no, I've kind of seen this coming for some time. Now, not nearly, you know, the amount and the influx of immigrants that have come in more than I thought and expected. But, I mean, I did know that it was getting bad. There's no doubt about that.
Well, let's get down to it. What's going on in the news, Jim?
Well, you know, I'm going to go over, of course, to our good friend Mike Adams over there at Natural News. And, you know, both of us have a relationship with Mike, and we are on his network, talknetwork.com. And a headline over here, you know, and this is really a lot larger, Dave, than I had anticipated before. I think we'd even talked about this and touched on it briefly. But a headline over here at Natural News is NASA-funded study, over 32 advanced civilizations have collapsed before us, and we're next in line. Now, you know, I had heard, of course, that there were five or six, perhaps, advanced civilizations that may have collapsed before us. I mean, it may have been the sixth or the seventh. I think that was a point of contention. I had no idea that there were 32 advanced civilizations that have collapsed before us. That makes, to me, Dave, when I find out that there were, and of course, according to this study, over 32 advanced civilizations have collapsed before us, it leads me to believe that our civilization is a lot more fragile, perhaps, than I had even thought it was. And I thought it was fairly fragile, as it is, especially with, and it's something we've talked about and done a video about, the nuclear power plants, and 104 of those, if we had any type of a major catastrophe where even 10% of those went offline or became contaminated, you know, it's basically nuclear wasteland here in the United States. But, you know, that type of thing perhaps happened in the past, Dave. I don't know. But did you know, is that surprising to you, over 32 advanced civilizations? Is that number not higher than the number you've heard before?
Well, I kind of subscribe to the belief put forth by the Hopis and the Arvaic teachings, and as well as some of the legends and folklore coming out of ancient China, and that we're in the fifth world, and there's been four civilizations, you know, such as like Lemuria and Atlantis and so forth, that have preceded us, and we are the descendants of the few remnant survivors of various catastrophes through history. But 32, that's very interesting, and I'm going to have to really bone up on that and try to get a grasp on it. But, you know, Jim, along the lines of what you're talking about, I draw back into my own sociology background here. And sociologists talk about various levels of societal attainment, and I want to take just a moment and review that to talk about why we're so vulnerable today. You know, the first level, you know, hunting and gathering, and ancient caveman, primitive person, you live off the land, and you're really vulnerable to things like droughts and predators and so forth. At that level, then you have pastoral society, where you actually have your own food supply, but you're basically just self-sufficient, but really nothing more. And then you have the agricultural, which is now, you know, basically farming for profit. So now you can feed masses of people. And then, of course, you have the industrial, the machine age, the factory age, modernization, modern communications, modern transportation. And then you have the what they call the post-industrial. And we're supposedly in this transitional phase right now between industrial and post-industrial. And this is where we're totally reliant on our technology, and people don't have the survival skills they once had. For example, in the 1930s, a lot of people survived food shortages during the Great Depression because they knew how to can food. Try to find someone today who cans food. That is an extremely rare skill. My wife is actually looking for someone to teach her, and we have not been successful in that endeavor. So, Jim, my point is this, is that the higher up the totem pole you go, so to speak, with regard to societal attainment, the more vulnerable you are if you don't retain base survival skills from your predecessor societies. And when the poop hits the fan, so to speak, in the United States, we're going to have a lot more people unprepared than we did in the 1930s.
Well, you know, statistically speaking, David, in the 1930s, we had about 93, roughly, and these numbers are, you know, general terms, about 93% of the population that sort of lived in you know, rural areas, that they could milk a cow and till a field and, you know, make butter and you know, do that type of stuff. And you had about 7% of the population that lived sort of in an urban environment. Now, you know, flip ahead here some almost, well, 90, what, 80-something years, and, you know, the script has been flipped, if you will. We have, and I said these numbers are not exact, roughly speaking, it's been flipped around to where about 93% of the population live in cities, and maybe, you know, 8 to 10%, let's say, live in the rural areas and still have some of those marketable skills. So, you know, the modern conveniences of life, Dave, you talk about technology. You know, technology is a great thing, you know, in many arenas. Of course, you know, our broadcast is possible in many ways due to technology and the advancements in technology. However, when the advancement in technology hits, you also have a loss in these, you know, real world skills that you're talking about. That's a give and take. You know, and nothing happens in a vacuum. So, you know, it's very few people that take advantage of modern technology and still take advantage of the throwback sort of old school life management. So, those skills are long gone, Dave. And I submit to you that those are going to be the skills that are going to be most necessary, you know, moving forward into this new, whenever the world's going to look like when the music stops playing, because inevitably it's going to, when that time is going to happen, I don't know, but it's going to happen. And when it does, those skills are going to be vital. You're going to have to know how to do those things, or, you know, only the strong are literally going to survive in those times.
You are making such an important point here, Jim. Because we're looking at the fact that we don't have those survival skills, but we're pushing storage, and we should be pushing storage. Listen, I promote products, and you heard Lisa Haven say this in the first hour of the show. We both promote products that enhance immediate survivability, allow someone to get their feet on the ground following a catastrophe, if that's going to be possible, by having food and water, a medium of exchange in gold and silver and so forth. This is what we promote. But, Jim, here's the problem. We can help promote people out, you know, if they adhere to the advice that we're trying to give them. But survival might be 2 to 3 years out. What if it's an EMP attack? What if we're decades away from being able to recover? What are you going to do when the food runs out in 2 to 3 years? Hence what you're saying here, Jim, the survival skills come into play, and people really need to start educating themselves on this. Every family should have one or two members that knows how to can food. Every family needs to know how to educate themselves on how to find water, how to purify water, and so forth. In fact, really, to give a plug to my friend at Ready Made Resources, Bob Griswold, go to readymaderesources.com. He's got all that stuff there. But these are skills that people are going to need to have if they're going to survive what's coming.
You know, Dave, how about things like horseshoeing? I mean, we get to a point, you know, a person that knows how to shoe horses and do it properly, a blacksmith, that's going to be a guy that's going to be in high demand. I know that sounds maybe silly, but, you know, those type of real-world skills are going to be, you know, are going to be vital. I mean, you talk about, you know, canning, you know, that type of thing. There's people out there, Dave, that, you know, don't even know how to build a campfire. And I'm not making fun of them. I'm just saying you really have to start getting yourself prepared for these type of things, because even something simple like a campfire, I mean, you know, campfires go wrong all the time. And if you're in a survival situation, one of the last things you want to do is to get any type of a severe burn with no hospital around or no medical, you know, a breakdown in the medical, system. And you have to take care of that yourself. You don't want those, like, gunshot wounds, you know, severe cuts, burns, because, you know, if we are truly going to get thrown back sort of to the olden days, you know, those type of incidents back then were certainly way more life-threatening than they are now. So, I mean, these are the simple type skills that you should learn, even how to garden. Even something simple like planting a garden. Because, you know, being a technology whiz when there's no power is not going to be a very marketable skill. You know, and I'm a technology guy, have been for many, many years. However, I have other skills to supplement my technology skills. And I would encourage everyone to, you know, you don't have to be good at everything. Just pick one thing that, let's say, that operates without electricity. Let that be your sort of your dividing line. Think of an activity that doesn't use electricity and become really good at it. Because there could come a time when you could be the man or the woman that has that skill, the only one around. And I don't have any examples right now, but, you know, I do a little bit of research. There's plenty. There's plenty out there.
Now, Jim, I've talked on the show about my former friend. I don't really have much contact with him any longer. He was with FEMA. He retired. He bugged out with people of a like mind to build a survival community. But one of the things that he and his wife shared with me one time was how they're preparing their kids. And this goes back, oh gosh, probably 6-7 years ago when he first told me this. He took his children. He'd take them up on the rim in Arizona, the Mogollon Rim, and he'd say, okay, kids, you're on your own. And his kids ranged in ages from that time from 16 to 11. And he just turned them loose for 2 days in the wild, and they had to survive. How's that for survival?
That's like boot camp. That's like.
I'm not making this story up. He told me this. Now, this is my genesis. This is my genesis of my evolution of my learning curve on this topic. When he first told me that, I thought, well, gosh, don't let the CPS find out about this. This is almost child abuse. Now I look at it, I'm looking at it, well, okay, it is kind of a high-risk endeavor, but nonetheless, he is enhancing the survivability of his children down the road because they'll know how to take care of themselves. And this is someone who really took into play what was coming. And man, was this guy outfitted either. And by the way, when we're talking about false flag events, if he were here coming on the show today, and I'll just repeat what he told me 3 years ago, October, when he announced to me, he and his wife told me they were going into bug out mode, and they were going into hiding. He said, what's coming is biological and chemical. That's what's coming. Biological and chemical. What was his specialty in FEMA? Counter-bioterrorism.
Well, it would make sense because, you know, I from everything that I've understood and that I've heard from, you know, the sources that I have, they don't want to really destroy the infrastructure. They want to maintain, you know, the buildings and the freeways and you know, the infrastructure, pretty much. So, you know, there was a speculation about a few ways to do that. And I believe it's a neutron bomb that lands and kills basically the people but doesn't destroy the building. I could be wrong on that, but
oh, you're right. Also, that is exactly what it is.
Okay, or you could have a nuclear or biological weapon, as we spoke about. You know, those items right there. You know, unless people just go, you know, ape crazy and start burning buildings down. I guess if they as they start dying out. I mean, other than that, and that's going to be probably isolated. I mean, generally speaking, that's not going to destroy the infrastructure. So, yeah, I mean. They, you know, you hear now, I just read a report here, I don't know where it was, but China is becoming a very, very large buyer of property here in real estate here in the United States. They are buying, you know, large swaths of land, and they've been doing that for a while, but apparently they're picking it up, and I couldn't really blame them. They're trying to dump these dollars before they probably become worthless. So, and they have a lot of them, as you well know. So, you know, I get a feeling that they don't want to. Now, I'm not saying China's going to be behind any type of a nuclear biological attack. It'll most likely be our own government, sadly. But I don't think that they're going to want to destroy, as I said, the infrastructure. So that could be, you know, that wouldn't surprise me, Dave. As terrible as I hate to sound so blasé about that, but, you know, I can't sit around. I have to just prepare myself the best I can. So I can't sit around pondering these things all the time because they're pretty dark, first of all. And second of all, I'd never move forward and get anything done. So let's hope that he's wrong. You know, that's all I can say.
Well, let's go to something that could be related. I mentioned this briefly at the top of the third hour. I suspect you didn't get to hear it because you were entertaining your mom. But it's being reported now that France is shutting down prepaid debit cards. Michael Kirsch brought that to me. He's a reliable source. What do you make of that, Jim? What's the significance of this?
They're shutting down prepaid. France is shutting down prepaid debit cards. You mean within the France borders of France?
Yes.
Wow, interesting. Are they claiming that? I haven't read the story. This is all news to me. Are they claiming that it's somehow? I would suggest that they're saying that terrorists are using these prepaid debit cards to somehow fund terrorist activities. Is that what they're saying? I mean, that is a
fascinating application to this. I don't know. I haven't had time to delve deeply into the story. I've only given it a cursory look, but that would be an interesting application here, and I hadn't even thought of that. I have it right here. Here, let me pull this up, and this is breaking news as we speak. It's begun. France is shutting down prepaid debit cards. Yeah, and there's not a lot of explanation with this right now. Here, let me.
Well, as you rightfully pointed out, Dave, I have been entertaining my dear mother, and no, I haven't been on top of the news like I usually am. I'm a news hound, much like you are. But no, I don't know. I don't know at this point why that is.
We'll have to look into this. To me, what this says too is basically they're trying to get control of everyone's personal assets and mediums of exchange. And this is why I keep saying, folks, you need to get the hell out of paper currency and you need to get into precious metals. Only maintain enough paper currency to conduct your basic business in society as it exists today. Well, in a story that we covered, Jim, in the first hour, there's been a development. I wish Lisa Haven was on to talk about this with us, but I've got you. You're the news director. Have you heard this? Facebook is now announcing that they're shutting down thousands of truthers. Have you heard this? I mean, I've been a victim of them. I know Lisa's been a victim of them.
Mike Adams touched on that. Yeah, that was something that we briefly touched on. I don't think it fully blossomed. The story had blossomed like it sounds like it has now. But yeah, that's why, Dave, that we talked to Mike, and you know, we're not letting the cat out of the bag, but Mike's doing a lot of stuff, as we know. And I think one of the things he's going to try to tackle is, it's a huge endeavor, but he's going to try to do an alternative to Facebook or that type of a social media thing. Because, yeah, man, they're you heard, Dave, you reported this, where you heard him say to Merkel something about shutting down the protesters, right? He said, you remember that quote. You said it, I think, a couple of times. You reported it. Can you go back over that quote that Zuckerberg said to Merkel? You remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He said this back in late September this year, and Zuckerberg and Merkel were at a conference. I believe it was on climate change, if I'm not mistaken, but they were at a conference together in an open mic situation that wasn't supposed to be on. Zuckerberg was told by Merkel in English, you need to clean up these anti-immigration posts on Facebook. And Zuckerberg said, we will clean this up. And I've been reporting on this, you know, almost exclusively for about a three-week period, and that I'm sure that's what led to me getting banned, although I was never given a reason. And Lisa Haven was banned as well, too. And by the way, Lisa Haven just posted on Before It's News. She just posted, let me read the title, It's Begun, Facebook Shutting Thousands of Truthers Down, and What Was Spotted in Their Office Hints at Who May Win the 2016 Election. Well, she covered that here on the Common Sense Show in the first hour, Hillary Clinton, or as she calls her, Hitler Clinton, if I can get those words out myself. But interesting, Facebook is going for broke now to cleanse themselves of the alternative media. And Jim, I covered this in the first hour too, and I think it bears repeating here because we have people that join us at various venues of the show. Steve Quayle said this on my show, and I want to repeat this. He said that in a female star of society, like China is, because of the one-child policy, the former one-child policy, and female infanticide that accompanied it, there's a shortage of women. And Steve's fear was that they will use Facebook to target women when the Chinese come here to impose martial law or they're an invasion force. You do not want to be on Facebook. It is dangerous to be on Facebook. And I know people are saying, well, Dave, why are you on Facebook? Because I'm a missionary. I'm going on to tell the truth. I don't endorse Facebook. I have nothing personal up there whatsoever. I only do my work on Facebook until they ban me. I serve my jail time. I come back out and I start doing my work again. And we heard Lisa Haven say exactly the same thing. I have no fascination for Facebook. It is a horrible, horrible waste of time, a terrible invasion of your privacy. And Zuckerberg is David Rockefeller's grandson. You can take that to the bank. And someday we're going to expose what his entire family is into. Jim, you know what that is, but I'm going to hold that to the vest right now because I'm still gathering data on this. But Jim, here we have it. Facebook going after thousands of truthers and just basically getting rid of them. And this parallels what's happening in Paris, where they're putting bloggers under house arrest in anticipation of the climate change summit. Jim, what the heck is going on here? It's happening all across the planet.
Well, you know, I think this smacks of desperation on their behalf, David. I think that, alternative media is killing them. And because I think inherently people gravitate towards truth. And, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that the mainstream media is in the pockets of big government and big pharma and big agra and big everything else. It's a corporatocracy, as we know, and the mainstream media really is the mouthpiece for said corporatocracy on many levels, and people realize that now. Now you have, you know, Brian Williams, as we've talked about before. You know, I'm surprised the guy's pants didn't catch on fire right on air. You know, he has now, of course, made his way back into the news arena somehow. I guess blatantly lying numerous times. I guess it's not a standard that you have to meet anymore to be a newsman in mainstream media, but that's another topic. But I think people see that and other things and realize that these people are really nothing but you know, lying liars that tell lies. And they see guys like us and Alex Jones and Mike Adams and Hagman and Hagman and Steve Quayle, and you know, they hear our passion. They know that we're speaking the truth, and we don't have any corporate sponsorship. We're not beholden to anybody except the truth and our family and God. And see, that scares them, man, because that's a force that they can't battle that force, Dave. That's something that goes beyond their level of perception.
Exactly.
And they can't deal with that. They don't know how to. The human spirit is very strong, and they can't battle it. So they have to try to shut it down. And I submit to you that there's going to be, like it has in history, throughout history, they'll get the upper hand here, and they'll shut it down. But I almost guarantee you there'll be something else that'll spring up.
It's coming. It's coming.
Necessity is the mother of invention, my friend.
It's coming. Hey, very quickly, we just got about a minute and a half, 2 minutes left at the most. I want you to tell the listening audience about some new ventures that we're involved with the Common Sense Show, how they can catch us on talknetwork.com, another proud place for broadcasting in addition to the great Global Star Radio Network. We're also on Talk Network, which is Mike Adams, and we're also expanding into the Southeast and the Eastern Seaboard. Go, Jim. You got about a minute.
Well, Dave, yeah, we just had to actually talk today. I know we had a phone conference today, and I just sent over a message over to the person here. It looks like we're going to be going live starting Tuesday, and a tremendously large audience, like more than a million people are going to be able to pick up our broadcast. I want to say probably 12 states. I know one of the main ones are Memphis. And all through, you know, Michigan, Ohio, right. Pennsylvania, a lot of places. So, you know, we're excited about that. We haven't, quote unquote, signed on the proverbial dotted line yet, but, our word is our bond, and then the person we're talking to is the same. So, yeah, I suspect, Dave, here in the next couple of days, we're going to be reaching quite a few people, Dave.
Yeah, when this goes down, it's going to be quick. Yeah, it's going to happen quickly. We're going to be on this week. There's little question about that. And we'll have announcements up on thecommonsenseshow.com. And I want to remind everybody, too, check us out on talknetwork.com. And please, please, please do not use Google. Okay, they're the enemy. Use goodgopher.com, the creation of Mike Adams' new search engine, goodgopher.com. Please go there. Jim, my friend, we are out of time. Can't believe this 3 hours has gone quick. Our thanks to Lisa Haven, Sheila Zielinski, Katie Whalen, our health reporter, and of course you, my good friend, James White. We'll be back next week, and our special guest for 2 hours will be Steve Quayle. Wow, that's going to be a show, because we're going to talk about a whole lot of topics. You're not going to want to miss it. To everybody, Hope you had a great Thanksgiving, and go out this week and have a great and wonderful week. See you next week.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.